Being a teenager in America is hard enough. Imagine being a teenager growing up with two completely different cultures and only wanting one of them. Radioactive Sarai Murashi has more.
On the first day of eighth grade, a boy walked up to me and asked if I had a bomb in my backpack. The whole class erupted into laughter. My cheeks turned bright red and I sank into my seat. People had stereotyped me before, but this was the first time I felt it, and it felt like a bomb had been dropped onto my lap. I began to feel ashamed all the time. I felt it every morning when the teacher took attendance and called out my exotic-sounding name, Sarai Murashi. In my history classes, when I felt the stares of my classmates during the annual 9/11 lesson, and when I looked into the eyes of my own mother.
I felt guilty when you would come home and I didn't see happiness or peace. I thought maybe if I had given you, like, a more American middle name, then you could have used that. Was I selfish because I was, like, loyal to my culture? You know, you start to doubt yourself when your kid is unhappy when they come home. And I thought maybe if we had moved back home, it would have been better.
Iran is the home my mom is talking about. My grandparents immigrated to America from Iran, with my mother and her siblings in tow, to escape the Iraq War. They both lived with us for much of my childhood, and this allowed our Iranian traditions to continue to thrive. But that doesn't mean I was raised in a particularly religious household. We didn't pray five times a day, we didn't cut pork out of our diet, and we didn't wear the hijab. But my little brother and I kissed the Quran before we left for school each morning. We burned incense to block out the evil eye. And we all spoke Farsi in the house every day. Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you. Mashallah, God has willed. Khuda hafiz, God be with you.
Most people believe that in America, there are Muslims who want to live here and live under our constitution, but too much, we find a growing number of them that believe Sharia should supersede the U.S. Constitution, and one there admit, look, he's in other countries.
The glimpses of Islam I experienced as a kid didn't necessarily match up with the portrayals of Islam I saw on the news. Words like jihad and Sharia law echoed in my head. Images of terrorist organizations claiming to follow Islam, holding assault rifles, and proudly taking responsibility for attacks on innocent civilians. I stopped learning Farsi. I stopped kissing the Quran. At family gatherings, I stayed up in my room. When somebody asked me about my culture, I would say, I am Muslim. But I would make sure they knew that I was non-practicing. Not because I cared if they knew about my upbringing, but because I didn't want to be associated with Islam. My mother told me that my diversity and uniqueness made me beautiful, but I didn't want to be diverse. I wanted to be normal. I didn't want my name. I didn't want my olive skin, my big nose, my dark hair. I wanted so desperately to look like the blonde-haired and blue-eyed girls I was surrounded with every day. But even as I wrestled with the shame I felt about my culture, there was one memory that shame just couldn't seem to touch. It began as an accident, but I became more and more intrigued with every encounter. My grandmother, my Bibi John, could never hear the sound of my little bare feet against the hard wooden floor as I tiptoed in to observe. I would wait quietly in the dark corner, wide-eyed and perplexed at the most beautiful white hijab upon her head. I listened to her murmur prayers from the Quran and bow her head to the floor 8 consecutive times, all in reverence to her Allah.
They say how you dream indicates your thought process. And so Bibi John always dreamt, when she would tell me her dreams, of her small town, and she would speak Farsi in her dreams. She is a follower of all the things that she grew up with, believing in, and being a mother first, she sacrificed a lot. But I am westernized in my beliefs. I never thought it was a flaw, her belief system and her traditions. That's who she is. If you take those away from her, it's someone different, right? It's part of who she is.
I didn't realize the beauty of being different. I let my uniqueness isolate me from my peers rather than let it bring us together. And right around the same time, I began to love my culture again. Something else happened. In high school, Most of my friends were white and knew nothing about Middle Eastern culture. But they began to ask me if they could try Persian food. They wanted to learn how we danced at weddings. They wanted to listen to my mother speak to her relatives on the phone.
Hello, Babajan, salam aizan. Chachari.
My teachers began keeping me after class to ask me questions about myself and my culture, how I grew up. My confidence grew and grew. I learned how to block out the occasional ignorant comment. After all, I knew my culture better than anyone. I lived it every day. It was rooted in my identity. And I knew what it felt like to be alone. I knew intolerance better than most of my peers. But all of that helped me understand how to empathize with others, how to treat other people better.
Here you meet people from all over the world, and you can share your language, your religion, your beliefs in a respectful, open-minded environment. And that might not be the case in other places. That's what I hope for your generation and your children. And I know whatever we're going through at the moment, it will pass. And it will be love and acceptance always, hopefully.
I don't say I am Muslim but anymore. Now, I just say that I am Muslim, I am Persian, I am American, and I am proud. For Radioactive, I'm Soraya Marashi.